common tourist. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Oh, a very ill-prepared joke.
Oh my God.
I don't have an answer. Sorry, wrong house.
So all right, that's fair enough.
I wanted to
wrong
start,
house.
I wanted
wrong,
to start
wrong
this
podcast.
I wanted to start this episode with a joke, but I failed.
Blatantly. Where are my tomatoes? You know what I learned this month? Is that when people used to throw tomatoes at people on stage, they used to think that tomatoes were poisonous.
What?
Yeah. So that's why tomatoes traditionally became what you threw at people on stage to show your dislike or distaste for whatever that person was saying.
Oh, don't you think we should bring that back? Like throwing...
poisonous things at people? Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
where's your Monsanto? Your Monsanto rid.
But something that's not, that couldn't be construed as, you know, physically violent, but like just some, you know,
verbals,
poison ivy, or
some verbal
something
poison
that's going
to
give you itchy thing, like nettles, stinging nettles in the UK. Oh, that'd be
a
bitch.
Speaking of which, I found out that's the plant with the highest amount of chlorophyll in it.
The stinging nettle.
Yeah, you boil it, and the stinging goes away.
Oh,
I'm telling you, I'm full of
this. This is like the mosquito is the like got the deadliest poison in the world, but it can't bite or so. Oh no, the daddy long legs.
Daddy long legs. That's what they say. Yeah,
daddy long legs.
Yeah,
it's the plant equivalent of a daddy long legs.
But they can't inject enough venom in you in order to do you harm.
Well,
that's what they say. Who's they?
Unsurprisingly, folks, you've tuned into Uncommon Tourist, the Barcelona podcast, where we talk about all things plant, animal, and poorly timed jokes.
All right, Angie. So tell me about February.
February felt like a short month because I think January was about 3 years long. So yeah. February was pleasantly, if slightly alarmingly short. We're moving into March and that feels like it's coming around a bit fast. But February was cool. Went to see Los Lobos for the first time, which was life-changingly good, as I had expected it to be.
All right. Hey, I'm not even going to apologize for this part. I've seen Los Lobos over 20 times. I'm probably about 25, 26 times. Big fan.
They're well
my as my friend, yes, as my friend Gil says, they are my Beatles. Or he says that they are Los Lobos is his Beatles, and I could probably get away with saying the same thing. But here's the thing. I have seen them so many times. And never once did David Hidalgo give me his guitar pick. And for that, I am very jealous. Don't sit there and look at me and smile like that.
Like you're very jealous of what? Of me?
I'm
because
very
jealous. Because he made full direct eye contact and handed it to me himself. Where there was like a linger. I'm just saying. There was a moment.
For you or him?
He did not know about it, but I felt it.
So she ends up, David Hidalgo is very kind in giving her a guitar pick. And I was a wee bit jealous, just going to say.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I also want to give a shout out to Los Lobos for giving a shout out to Flaco Jimenez.
Mm.
I was really excited about that just because, you know, Flaco, it's a nice memorial to Flaco, which I'm really glad I could experience that. So super cool. And the thing that I want to mention that I thought was so cool. And the thing that I want to mention about from February is we went to visit Colonia Güell. And I...
Which is on the outskirts of Barcelona. It's near a town called...
Colonia Güell.
Colonia Güell, but there is more of a like farm town next to it called Sempoy.
Sempoy!
Actually called Sempoy, but it has to be pronounced Sempoy.
Yeah,
if you want to say it correctly.
And so shout out to Flavor Flav. Thank you for that. And we couldn't, as soon as we realized we were in Sempoy, we couldn't help but say Sempoy so many times. And it was, it's a good way to start a tour of Colonia Güell with a good joke of Sempoy. So, so we went to Colonia Güell. And it's about 25 minutes outside of Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get tickets to get in and, to say the least, I don't know, Angie and I were debating on what kind of experience this was for us. For me, it was just great in that as a Gaudí fan and as a not so fan of Mr. Güell, but really excited the fact that he was a philanthropist that was able to give some money and make some things happen. It was really cool to be in the space that he created, asking Antoni Gaudí to be the architect for the church. But while we were there, we ended up taking a little tour of this very small And when I mean colony, colonia.
Compound.
It is more like a compound. Absolutely. So Angie and I end up in some really interesting conversations about how this was almost kind of sinister in the way that it was set up and the way that they had the company doctor living there in town, and that he was, yes, there to cater to those who were sick, but was also there to make sure that they weren't faking their sickness so they could get back to work. And you and I, when we realized this, we kind of looked at each other like, oh, my God, that is quite horrible, isn't it? And so I want to mention that before we get to the really cool part where you and I just thought was quite crazy, quite amazing. But we actually get to the crypt of Colonia Güell, the architect of Antoni Gaudí, and we have our go time at 11 o'clock. So we go to the tourist office where it says we have to be there at 11 o'clock. We get there. They give us all the stuff that we need to go to get into the crypt. We walk up to the crypt and they're like, you've got 10 minutes. And we're like, what? So it turns out that there was a company of priests that were having a meeting in the crypt.
Oh, they were priests?
Yeah, they were. You didn't notice?
No, yeah. That's very corporate looking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Majority of them were. They call them curas. So they had a meeting of curas and they were all getting together, but they're like, you only have 10 minutes. And we're like, wait, hold on one second. We have been looking forward to this for such a long time and we finally are here and you're going to give us 10 minutes. And I was hot. I was not happy. So we ran in there and got to see the church. We're there for, we really pushed it. They kind of walked up to us and kicked us out, basically. But, you know, we left and they said, well, we're here. We'll be open again in 2.5 hours. We're like, 2.5 hours? Like, it's just not going to work. So we kind of left and a little bit frustrated. So we walk around the city. We learn these things. We have kind of this realization that it's kind of creepy living in this town, that they want you to work, work, work.
Yeah, it's like they basically set up a workers' village. So you have the factory there, and then you have this little community of tenement house blocks, which, again, in theory, it's like so many things in theory. On paper, it reads great, like communism, great idea. But the application of it is what kind of screws it up. The human application of it is where things tend to go wrong when people want to have power and control and dictatorship. And this really is what I feel ended up being Colonial Güell's sort of downfall. It was sort of set like, look, we're providing you these houses that you couldn't afford, but we're also taking your time and kind of like your life in a way.
Without a doubt. I feel like if you work there, you have signed your life over. Obviously, they had enough that they could leave. But I mean, when you're there, you're there. I mean, your house is there. Your work is there. Doctor is there. Company stores are there.
One very sad bakery. Like, I mean, very underserviced with like social community spaces, like really like one kind of town hall-y type thing. But we walked around this thing and I mean, if we'd been walking at fast pace, like 8 minutes.
Probably. Yeah. But then there is some boy outside that people could have gone to. So we're not making it seem like, you know, once they were there, they were like, hey, they were fenced in and they couldn't leave. But living there, I'm sure had its challenges. For sure. Yeah. And then there was something interesting that happened while we were there. We go to the crypt. We love it. By the way, by the time we had walked the city, it took longer than 8 minutes. But by the time we took our time to go through the city and kind of have our commentary about what we thought we were experiencing, when we were done, we went back to drop off our headset where they were giving us our audio guide. And while we were in there, they said, hey, they're done. The meeting of the curas or the priest is done. So they reopened it. So they were done about 45 minutes before they thought they were going to be done. So we looked at each other and was like, hey, you want to go? I mean, it saved us some time because we know that we wanted to go in. So we were lucky enough to go in. And the beauty of it is that we were able to experience it pretty much by ourselves for the first 15 minutes. We were in there by ourselves, which was the blessing in disguise. And it was just, as a Gaudí fan, I mean, it was just riveting. It was just amazing. It was just something that I'm fortunate for the both of us that we were able to go in there and see, and the light was hitting it correctly.
Yeah, you see, it's typical Gaudí use of color and natural light and the space. Also that kind of cavernous movement of rock and stone where it's replicating trees and it's replicating nature spaces. Super beautiful. And to get to wonder about it by ourselves is pretty fun.
Yeah. And then so we went to go drop off our audio guides. And when we went in there, the lady was very kind of talkative. And then she's like, hey, go check out this museum that we have to the side. that kind of talks about Colonia Güell. And we're like, all right, cool. And this is the part that I kind of don't want to say, because I don't want to ruin the surprise for everybody, whoever goes to Colonia Güell. If you want to DM us, we'll tell you that part of it. But
it's a game changer, though. Like, it contextually, it's a game changer for your experience.
Amazing.
Yep. Super awesome. Highly recommend it. Caveat your enthusiasm for Colonia Güell. Like, it's just like a couple of wee streets and an old, it's called the crypt. So it's like, you know, the lower part of a church. Examine and spend some time there. But to get context, to pull it together in a way that's going to either make sense and or blow your mind, go to the museum.
Absolutely. Best recommendation. All right. So that's February. Let's go on to March. What's going on?
Well, speaking of museums, Sunday the 1st of March is, of course, Free Museum Sunday. So check out our blog if you want to find out some cool places to go. I personally am trying to get to the Montjuïc Olympic Museum this weekend, but it has really restricted opening hours. So they are like open from 10:30 till 2 on like the, you know.
They really don't want us to go.
The first Sunday of the third waxing moon. Like, they're just really odd hours. So
I would agree that it's funny hours. With that being said, all the other museums that you can go and visit around Barcelona have opening hours to sometimes 6, 7, 8. Go check those out as well. Just if you want to go see the Montjuïc Olympic one, be aware of what Andrew just said, because, they'll kick you out.
Then starting on Monday, you have the Mobile World Congress, Barcelona 2026 edition.
Big deal.
Yep. And that's going to run from Monday to Friday. It is the largest mobile connectivity event, which might float your boat, might not be interesting to you, I don't know. I mean, most of us now have mobiles. We live in a slightly more digital age than we used to. And actually, that's one of the things we'll be talking about at this event, is this kind of AI and the IQ of AI and its infrastructure, which I think it could be a really interesting topic. I had a little scan through some of the peak discussions, because I personally wanted to see where it overlapped with usage, mental health, cognitive development and lack thereof in the humans that use it, the impact on younger people using it, the impact on everyone's mental and emotional health on using AI or relying on AI, especially when it comes to what is actually real in terms of what you see on the internet, on the news, whatever. Interestingly enough, I did notice that a lot of the panelists on these discussions were CEOs or CFOs or CMOs of particular companies, but I still think it could be really interesting. They did have a few sort of psychologists getting involved as well, so I think that could be a really interesting topic.
And in addition to the Mobile Congress is such a big deal. It kicks off a lot of things here going on in Barcelona. But also, this is something we have to tell you about. As you're around the city of Barcelona, don't be surprised if you see some really wacky Mobile Congress advertising on something. A few years ago, they even had a big banner on the Cathedral of Barcelona to the ire of many people.
It was the name dropped them there to...
Yeah, so don't be surprised if you see some advertising in some wacky place. I think it's almost kind of a game for them to find out who can come up with the craziest advertisement. But it's a pretty crazy week.
Oh, also this week, on the 3rd of March, which is Tuesday, is the celebration of the Festival of San Medir, which has a very long story, and we've gone into this several years in the past. So you can go back to March of 2025 or 2024 if you want to hear the full story around San Medir. But essentially, modern day celebration is, it's a little parade with a bunch of free candy. And the majority of that is going to be happening up in Gracia, so kind of northern part of the city. So if you want to go up and check that out, head up to Gracia and you can enjoy some free candies and watch some street parades and people celebrating the feast day of San Medir.
Great idea. Next year, they need to find the sponsor. The sponsor needs to be the Association of Dentists in Barcelona.
Oh, you're like one out of 10 dentists recommends the San Medir Festival. And that guy is in no way, shape, or form being paid.
Yeah, San Medir. And I also love the fact that when we go hiking in the backside of Barcelona, we see the San Medir Church out in the middle of nowhere, Cosarola. Pretty awesome.
You just wanted to say backside.
Did I say backside?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barcelona's backside is very nice.
She is a city of curvaceous shape. I love it.
Oh, God bless curves. All right. Also coming up next weekend, we have the Drone Light Show. This is the latest and greatest in entertainment around the world. But Barcelona has a really cool light show that they throw out above on above the water. So you can see variations and reflections in the water. Really super cool. And, of course, because it's on the water, no matter where you are along the beach, you can see, you have a great view of it. So
awesome. Yes, which we technically shouldn't be telling you because it is happening in the Forum area specifically where they've put up in a lot of seats. And for that, they are charging pesos. No, they're charging money. So you actually have to pay to go to see it. But I would argue that, in to Alvaro's point, is that if you go along the beachfront or get down to the Forum area, you could find yourself a nice blanket and sit down quite happily or stand and watch it. And also right now, the weather is pretty mild, very temperate. We're getting a lot of sunshine. Whoa, we did have a crazy windy couple of weeks.
I'm still getting rid of my windburn.
Is that what that is? I thought you'd already hit the sun.
Oh, wow. My beautiful canela skin.
Yes, indeed. And the same weekend, so the drone show is on the Friday and the Saturday night. That same weekend, the 7th and the 8th, which is Saturday and Sunday, is Palo Alto Festival or Palo Alto Market that happens once. That's like the first weekend of every month in Barcelona. They have this festival. It's in the Poblenou area. Super cool venue, the majority of which is outdoors, but there's a lot of local artisans that come to sell clothing and jewelry. There's some artworks there, some pottery and craft. Siempre there is good food. The food is amazing. There's last time I was there, there was really good Mexican food. There was also some really nice Lebanese stuff. Of course, there's Spanish people that come as well. There's Spanish foods. And then there's usually like some very elaborately weird dessert thing. So there was a gelato guy one time, but then next to him, like someone that had, you know, like cookies that were stuffed so that they were about 5 inches high.
Oh,
but like 2 inches wide. So they're just absolutely packed with things inside them. So there's a lot of different things to eat and drink. And then they have, yeah, little like drink trucks where you can get cerveza, you can get cocktails, you can get soft drinks and live music. So there's live music playing. Usually you have to buy a ticket that's either the lunchtime slot, which would be 12 to 5, or the 5:30 till late slot where you'll be able to go and see some live bands as well, have some drinks. Still, all the other markets are up and going and people are hanging out. It's just like a really social community space. And the reason that this one is so interesting is because on March 8th, it's International Women's Day. And this Palo Alto market is all provided by female artisans and female providers of music, food, drink, joy, love, art. It fills me with joy to even think about it. Both Alvaro and I are going to be there on this Saturday. So if you're heading to that or want to join us, send us a little message. But yeah, really cool, really beautiful way to combine two very important things, which is creation and women. Who knew those things were compatible?
We all came from women, so it makes sense. And you may have heard me laugh during this, your explanation. And my laugh was not funny. It was like very exciting that they took the extra step to say, you know what, this is International Women's Day and they are all females. And I think that's super great. And I can't really, I can't wait to go experience that with you. All right. And then on March the 15th, look out, people. They're going to cut off the street again because we had the half marathon last month. And this month, we're going to do the full-on marathon.
Woo-hoo.
Go, Jessica. Wait, hold on a second. So, by the way, congratulations, Jessica, for completing your half marathon.
Yep, first half marathon. She will be running a full marathon in November or December, I think, but down in Valencia. Barcelona full marathon. This year, apparently, they're doing what they describe as a flatter route. I'm not sure what that actually means.
That means to help the times, of course.
But I do think it'll mean that there's more running in and out around Eixample. So really, it just means more of the city is going to be a bit cut off that morning. Again, like the half marathon, highly recommend that you go down and just cheer people on. When I was looking for Jessica, I just started screaming at random people. And it's amazing to watch their physical reaction. Like for them, it feels like really supportive, and it's a very personal experience to have somebody kind of like, some positive way as you run by. So,
or if you see someone, if you're going to be here, just scream animo, animo, which means like with gusto, you got it, go. And they look at you and they do exactly what you say. That little cheer just kind of revs them up. Sometimes they start jogging again. So it's really cool. So I love doing that for the last 25% of the marathoners.
Mm.
The weekender that get together and just do it because they want to accomplish completing a marathon. And also starting on March the 15th to the 26th, we have the Maria Canals International Music Competition. Amazing pianist. They now have this competition named after her. And the only thing I want to say about this is that there's two reasons why you need to go. Number one, the music is amazing. And secondly, the venue. They're going to have it at the Palau de la Música Catalana.
One more time.
Oh, yes. Lluís Domènech i Montaner, amazing architect, the father of the modernist movement, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So those are two very cool combined reasons why you need to go check out this international music competition.
Yeah, super awesome. We put the link to everything we've talked about down in the show notes, but with that particular website, it's really cool as well, because if you want to sponsor a string for during the show, you can do some kind of like sponsor string.
What string would you be, Angie?
I see. I would. I'm a B flat.
You're a B flat.
Yep.
Oh, I would go for a lower octave, like one of those.
You're a G.
For guitar, baby.
You're a G string.
That's so bad. Funny.
Oh, that's my joke that I was missing from the start.
It's better. I will say that. All right. Let me see. Also, a nerdy moment. It's March the 19th that they actually started La Sagrada Familia in 1882. Bishop Urquinaona. Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Screw that one.
Bless you.
Something is in my nose. Yeah. So either way, March the 19th is the day that they actually started La Sagrada Familia. So they're going to have a commemorative mass. It also happens to be Father's Day here in Catalonia. At least it's celebrated because it is the feast day of St. Joseph. St. Joseph is the immortal father of Jesus. And because of that, it's traditionally Father's Day. No one pays attention to it anyways. So,
oh, really? They don't?
No. So you'll walk the streets. You'll notice that nothing has changed. Every once in a while, you'll get a felicitats. But outside of that, no one pays attention to it.
Do they do anything for Mother's Day?
They pay more attention to that than they do the Father's Day. Go figure. But Father's Day, just March 19th, just kind of goes by.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it is for me too. So also going on March, the latter part, well, it's actually a longer celebration than that, but it ends on the 23rd, is the Passage des Gourmets, which means the passage of gourmet named after and play on the word of Passage de Gracia. Now,
cryptic.
Cryptic.
Mm. I wonder how long it took them to come up with that.
Creative people, the marketers. A couple things going on here with Barcelona and gastronomy. For any of you that ever watched Anthony Bourdain, he did a show here about a restaurant called El Bulli, which was named after a small dog right outside of Barcelona. People have become aware of the chefs and the creativity and the cutting edge. So Barcelona is now on the map for places that people want to go and experience. And because of this, they've created this week where people can go and experience some of these restaurants without paying a massive amount of money to go into the restaurant. So what they've done is created a bunch of restaurants, and you can go in there and try one plate. They have it priced for like $10, a sandwich variety for another $10, and dessert for €8. I said dollars. I'm sorry. I'm American. I can't get rid of it. But it's but anyways, the point is that you can go to these different restaurants and see what these different chefs have created. Now, as a reminder, the restaurant that won is here, and there's no way you can get a ticket to go in. They've sold out for the next 3 years.
What?
Yeah.
What's on the menu? Hope.
And everyone's buying.
And then we're so hungry for it these days. Good Lord, you can finally get it.
So yeah, that just gives you some idea of the amount of great food that's coming out of Barcelona. And this week celebrates it. There's a link in the show notes. And there's a lot of these gourmet or chef-inspired festivals going on. This one goes on north of Plaça Catalunya in the Passeig Gràcia area, also known as Eixample to some people. But either way, just know that you can go check out some plates, different restaurants. Pretty cool.
Awesome. And then one last thing to mention is that all of this year we'll be celebrating across Barcelona that Barcelona is the world capital of architecture for 2026. So that means that on the global stage, there's a lot of people interested in looking at the architecture of Barcelona, not just from our beautiful historic perspective, but also how our modern architecture is really leading Barcelona to be one of the most sort of green urban cities on the planet. So it's a really interesting year for presentations. There's going to be a lot of different competitions and award ceremonies and stuff going on. And if you're interested in the architecture field, this is a really fun time to come to Barcelona. It also happens to be a really fun time to come on tour with us because this is also our focus. So when we take you on a variety of tours that we offer, really intertwining the historical architecture with the modern architecture and how those two things complement or not one another, and how it really all contributes to how we as residents and yourselves as guests get to experience the city. So from our perspective, it's really fun, really cool that this is happening in Barcelona this year. And we'll be checking out some of the events that are going on.
Yeah, and of course, hey, you know what? Sagrada Familia, 2026, Antoni Gaudí. It's a century since his death, and so it's kind of a big deal. But yeah, I think you're right. It's bigger than just Gaudí. By the way, very excited about Sagrada Familia. They just put the top part of the cross up, which is a big deal. Check out, I mean, that's, you don't have to come to Barcelona for that. Just check your news locally to see that. So it's really exciting that that's back in the news. But I also think that you're right. The guy that designed Eixample, the part that's outside of the Barri Gótico, Ildefons Cerdà was his name, did an amazing job that's still talked about today. He's the one that made the funny blocks with the funny shapes. And we also started this idea of super manzanas, or the super blocks here in Barcelona. So without a doubt, Barcelona is on the forefront of urban living and how to design it. And so I think it's appropriate that, first of all, that they got this award. But yeah, like you said, well, as we walk through the city or ride through the city, whichever tour we're on, we point out these different things and what makes it quite fascinating.
Yeah, and it's actually a 150-year anniversary of him this year as well. So it's coinciding with the 100-year anniversary of Gaudí's death, meaning it is a double whammy of architectural awesomeness to be celebrated. So yeah, fun time to come to Barcelona. If it's not already in your diary, why are you wasting your life? Let's get moving.
All right, y'all. Well, that's a wrap for March 2026. We look forward to seeing you out on tour. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. You can find us anywhere on the webs. You can also find us on social media, of course, at Uncommon Tourist. And be in touch.
Ciao.